waiver, and I just had a conversation with Yvonne about this being the driving engine of the future of the city as it grows, where the money is going to come from. One thing the PCIB hasn't historically done, with the exception of the interchange at Mount Vernon and Ashford Gunnery Road, is there hasn't been a lot of conversation with the citizenship of residential Gunnery, and now that we're a city, I'm expecting that to change, because now you're truly our partners, and what's good for Dunwoody is good for PCIB. One thing I haven't seen in the PCIB plans, and we keep talking about open space, is that open space is defined by developers as little green walls between their two buildings. That's their green space, and that satisfies green space requirements. From the city's perspective, and the bikers' perspectives, and the walkers' perspectives, okay, when I talk about open space going forward, I'm talking about truly accessible park space, plaza space, place that people, as they're walking from Target to Jimmy Buffett's place, have a green area where they can sit down with benches or a fountain or something, that even downtown Cincinnati is noted for its fountain in the middle of downtown where everybody hangs out. We haven't done a very good job of that here, so I'd like to see the PCIB as we go forward, especially when it starts when the market turns and they start bringing zoning issues to the county, to the city, into the councilman, is redefine open space. And in your master plan, make it public accessible. Where can I picnic with my kids? Open space. And not just the green space over by, I can't think of the name of the building, but green space between buildings, where no pedestrian goes because they think it's on private property and it's owned by somebody else.
Because if I understand correctly, within the perimeter boundary, it's not necessarily a park that's on the neighborhood scale, but within the perimeter boundaries, we need some common space, some kind of common area that we can all identify within those boundaries or perimeter.
Yeah, it's got to be public, accessible, green, and inviting.
And I think that the good part of that discussion is there is probably some low-hanging fruit of underutilized property that we all could probably creatively identify that possibly could be on that scale. I have one in mind particularly. I think, and this is just Yvonne Williams, because I'm not a developer that has to relinquish that right of property, but under the MARTA rail, the line by the mall, there is kind of like underutilized property gully space. There's some great examples around the country where that's been changed. That type of space has been put into a multi-use trail, common, trail. Now, that just requires us to think about, as this economy's turned around, is that not something you can get people at the table and think about? What can we do with that property that's highest and best use, and would it be able to be transported into some kind of mixed-use trail if it's now being underutilized as floodplain, whatever it is? So that's where, when we go into this next 10 years, that's what we're talking about, getting this vision updated to have that kind of opportunity. And there may be more. I don't even tend to be the expert, but I can tell you, under MARTA rail stations, I see a lot of, just blank land. And you go around the country, and you're seeing them now being buffered with beautiful multi-use walking trails, park space, that kind of thing. So it's an opportunity. It's a great opportunity to begin to identify that and figure out what our best opportunity is to look at it. Yes, sir.
I want to say again, and I agree with what Bob said, and let me start by saying I make my money off commercial real estate development. It hasn't been the best living in the last couple of years.
Yes, sir, I can understand.
But, I mean, I'm 1,000% behind perimeter area and everything you guys are doing out there. But I was also one of the people vocal for the formation of the city of Dunwoody, okay? And I don't want to sound like a naysayer because I'm 1,000% in support of everything you're doing. But I'm going to give you an example where you've got to consider the Dunwoody citizenry, and I'm really speaking to the city council right now, okay? There are people in Dunwoody who don't dream of going near Ashford-Dunwoody, and a lot of people who are cut through Ashford-Dunwoody who go through other neighborhoods in Dunwoody because they can't get through that traffic. And perimeter claims, like George Perimeter College does, to provide off-duty police officers to facilitate traffic, it's got nothing to do with facilitating community traffic. What it does is it empties the office buildings as fast as they can at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And everybody who lives in Dunwoody's got to go somewhere else where they avoid it like the plague. Now, I'm not saying stop anything you're doing. I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. Absolutely wonderful, fantastic. Yvonne, if you don't want the community to really, really, really rise up against you now that you're a city, now that we are a city, you've got to take into consideration facilitating Dunwoody citizen mobility and access and use of green spaces and things like that. There's beautiful green lawns, but if I step on them and a security guard chases me away, they're not green spaces to the city of Dunwoody. Okay, take those two things into consideration, please.
Well, I think that's a very good point. Unfortunately, growth was our best friend and growth was our detriment. And we grew so fast, and then in 1999, we looked up, we were in a mess. 1999, we were in a mess. So I hope that the message from here is, well, we got the things that basically had to get done. Now is what we need to do is figure out how we have the connectivity to the neighborhoods and some common vision of this whole process of the comprehensive plan. So I think your point's very well taken. Very good. Yes, sir.
Yvonne, I've heard the presentation 3 or 4 times from the high street people at the Dunwoody Homeowners Association meetings, et cetera. And they brag, it's beautifully done from their perspective, about this wonderful park in the middle of it that's less than 1 acre to serve 3,000 and some housing units. And then they're adjacent to Sandy Springs, of course, and they own property there, and adjacent to Central Park, which is a Cox development, which has 12 acres, I believe, of currently undeveloped land. And then there's Perimeter Center East that has all kinds of extra space going forward if it were redeveloped in a different way. But where in the world is the cooperation and coordination of development of the various developers? If they think of it as their 2 acres, their 6 acres, their 5 acres, and what they can do for themselves, but where is the centralized planning in the perimeter CIDs other than making sure everybody has, which is important, sidewalks and streets and places to walk? But you always say live, work, play. How in the world could you play anywhere in a perimeter CID? Where is the Piedmont Park of Dunwoody, so to speak? It can't be that large, I realize. But where even is the Woodruff Park of Dunwoody, of the perimeter CID? Talk about a lack of a vision, not on your part, it's the perimeter CID. But you have the power, I would think, and influence to bring all the folks to the table to figure out where you can put Woodruff Parks, at least 2 or 3 of them, in the perimeter CID. And I've identified Perimeter Center East in the Cox area just for openers. It's actually named Central Park, for Pete's sakes. Try and make it work with High Street through your whatever influence you might have to make it become a bit of a mini Central Park.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm hoping, unless I'm off base and I say, it's really bleak, I hope this is the beginning. If we have walkability, then what can we do to figure out, then where's the Central Park area? If we create walkability and the structure of the intersections with the pods, where do we find that green space?
Or 2 or 3 of them.
Yeah, maybe it's one on the north end, maybe it's one on the south end, maybe one
on the east end.
Maybe it's part of the mall parking lot. I mean, I've seen some great experiences around the country, I know you all have, where the mall parking lot was used for something different than just empty parking spaces. Venue of art space.
Look at the Sembler. Yeah. Look at the Sembler one runs wards.
Yeah.
There isn't more than about 12 square feet of grass in the entire thing. It's all parking lots.
But we're at a point now where we can have those discussions. We didn't have that option, I don't think, in 1999 when we were trying to figure out. But I do think it's a way to begin to say, if there is an opportunity and there's low-hanging fruit of property underutilized, what do we think could be a collaborative? Where's the Sproul Center property? You know, maybe there's some great things there that could happen. Because they have a plan to expand and have a center there, and they've got underutilized property on the back end. Maybe that could be a great venue.
One thing you may not be aware of, there's 3 acres right across the street here.
Okay.
It's owned by DeKalb County that we're negotiating with as part of our parks.
Okay, good.
It's just green space.
Well, let's keep that up. We have a note taker tonight, don't we? So, yeah, I know we do. Okay, let's keep these things.
And if I could just quickly add, as you all go through your growth and development and the comp plan, and one of the natural complements that we're also looking for is community facilities. And so as the city looks and they develop new community facilities, those are natural complements for these parks and walkable areas. So, you know, we would love to work with you all. If you're going to make investment, that's not typical CID, but now that's the gravy kind of stuff that we're talking about, amphitheaters, community facilities, parks. And so a lot of that will, you know, be more of a city investment or some partnership. And so if we can find ways to locate those too, we would welcome that option.
Yeah. Have you worked with the school center? Well, you talked about the arts and the...
Right. Our vision is really strictly devoted to transportation. So, you know, you can imagine I've been kind of stepping out a little bit if we... But we have... We've engaged with the school center board of their vision of the future for that property, and they know they have fully endorsed the streetscape improvements on the front end that we have put together because that helps their property. So from an infrastructure standpoint, we have discussed their part is a mission to get the capital campaign and their facility going. Ours is to make sure that front end of that property is pedestrian friendly and that type of connectivity.
We know that Revive 285 is looking at transportation alternatives over the north side. One of the transportation alternatives they're looking at, you talked about, which is a rapid busway. They're also looking at a possibility of doing light rail instead. And I think Dunwoody would much rather see light rail. So to the degree that you all get to have any influence, I think we'd rather not have buses speeding through our southern border. We'd much rather see light rail just in terms of its impact on the residential neighborhood. So for the degree that you've got some say in that, we'd love for you to be our
advocate. I appreciate that. I'm just going to tell you a little bit of reality about the whole transit discussion. The Capitol, when the legislators get back, they got a big, big mission. And one of them is, I don't even know what to tell you about the deficit number that they'll be dealing with in the budget. But the price tag on transit for the region has to deal with the dirty word tax, okay? So if we decide that as a region we want to pass something, a referendum to create funding for transit, that'll be the way that this transit agenda starts moving forward. The point I want to share with you all is that the feds will decide whether they think that our alternative analysis process warrants bus rapid transit, which is a highly, highly new technology of transit that is rubber wheel tires or light rail. They'll look at the two alternatives and then they'll decide based on Atlanta's presentation as a region what works. And some people say that in bus rapid transit, the ability to serve Atlanta from all the pods, from all the employment districts, has some validity. I'm not endorsing either one. I'm just telling you that from a bus rapid transit reflects, you can run bus rapid transit at 400, you can run it over to North Fulton, you can run it to Cumberland. It's very flexible is my point. So it depends on whether Atlanta leadership's going to say, stand up and say, we got the money to invest in light rail, or if we're going to be able to say that we only have the ability to bring in BRT as our first stage. And that process is going to keep going forward as the Department of Transportation figures out the corridor of 285. I'll just share with you, if you have the ability to keep an open mind, you're going to see some pretty exciting stuff that goes along with both technologies. Both technologies have some neat stuff about them that allow you to do some things along corridors that we don't even have now that really enhance connectivity. So we're at the table, and we're strong about this, but I can tell you there's not an ability to lock in on one technology right now at this point. Yes.
I just want to mention I actually work right across the street from where I work across the street from where that MARTA station runs across.
The Dunwoody one?
Yeah, it runs over the mall area.
Okay.
Yeah, grass-based. Yeah. It is grass-based, but I can't tell you it's very loud when it's running through. So it's like it would be limited use. I mean,
you're talking about the MARTA rail?
Yeah, the one that's above ground that you're saying there is low-hanging fruit, grass-based. It is low-hanging fruit, but it's like, I mean, I work across the street, and when the MARTA train comes by, I can hear it in my building. When you're out there, you cannot have any type of peaceful space there. Yeah, I mean, it would have to be like a bike rail where you're going right through and not going to sit there. It just is not quiet.
That's interesting. I have a question. you know, you keep talking about walkability, but I was just curious, has any study been done or count to actually see how much walking is going on? Because, like, when I come down Ashford Dunwoody, let's say, to go out to lunch, I don't see a whole lot of people crossing the street. Maybe over by Hammond, but, you know, by Walmart, like, if I'm going to go up, let's say, to Carrabba's, whatever that little, that Assembler project is, I don't see a whole lot of people crossing the street. Has anyone done a study?
I don't think we've done a study, but Donna and David, help me out here. Have we done any, like, after the improvements analysis yet, or is that something we've all decided that we're doing for 2010? And now that we've got the improvements in, we're going to do the counts?
Part of our survey that we'd like for you to go online talks about why you're in Perimeter and how you get around in Perimeter and what you would like to see happen in terms of walking or feeling safe or that kind of thing. So to my knowledge, this is the first time, I know this is the first time we have tried to gather that kind of data, which would direct us to things like, one of our things is that we have such long blocks. So mid-block crossing and things like that, we hope we're going to get some ideas from people who actually walk and find out the number of walkers and why people are or are not walking in Perimeter and how they're getting around. So we'd like that survey to be...
It'd be good to be able to show the benefit of what people are doing to access and have some kind of counting system or tracking.
Well, I was just wondering at actual intersections whether there was a way to do some kind of count. You know, you spend a lot of money in these improvements, and I'm just curious, like, what was the walkability before? Did anyone do a study prior to investing this money to see whether there was a lot of business people trying to cross the street to go to a restaurant, for instance? And then after doing those improvements, then saying, well, did this make a difference between 1999 and 2009? That's what I'm trying to, because you spent a lot of money on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know whether it was ever considered like having pedestrian bridges where you don't have to cross, you know, you go over the street. You have a lot of that in downtown Cincinnati. Bob's where I used to live in Cincinnati, and that's the only city where we were downtown all the time. I would go down and meet my husband for lunch. There's a beautiful park there. And they have, I mean, you can go to any department store through these bridges. You don't have to go down and cross at all. So I'm just curious what kind of study you did then and versus now, because I'm not a walker, I'm a driver, and if I'm going to have to go shopping at Target or somewhere, I can't be walking with packages, and I'm just curious.
Well, I can tell you, The real answer is Atlanta didn't develop on principles of measuring. I mean, I'm just being real honest.
Mm-hmm.
What we had to do is hit the ground and just start to try to do something. We didn't. The board said we don't want to invest in studies and plans and perpetual analysis. We want to get stuff in the ground. But to your point, now's a good time to start looking at how can we start counting, tracking, measuring. Shuttle ridership, we have great shuttles in the market, how people are riding those, what kind of ridership's on LARTA. I mean, there's a lot of things to start building data intelligence to make this portfolio, you know, even better. So you make a good point, but the city in general, all over the city, did not develop its footprint on measurement standards, performance measures.
Or on sidewalks.
Yvonne, just a note on Jerry's comment.
Yep.
I'm going to say six major projects that were approved in DeKalb County before the city of Dunwoody. Okay, all took buildings and eliminated the parking lots in the front and the big green, you know, private drive areas and moved those buildings to the street. The GID project, the project where Checkers is,
yeah.
The project across the street from the MARTA station.
That's a good point.
The hotel on Ashford Dunwoody Road, the hotel up where Marriott's going to be, where the old SunTrust Bank is. Every one of those was negotiated that the footprint of the building would come up to the street,
right.
And not to have a corporate not just have a building with a corporate entrance. You know, welcome to IT&T, but each one of those buildings in the future would have pedestrian-based amenities. Okay, Hammond Drive project that Laurel worked on has plans for residential, pedestrian retail on the street to connect Ravinia to walk up towards California Pizza Kitchen, take advantage of the sidewalk that's been put in, and there's a hotel planned right there that's going to have street access, sidewalk access, so you can stay at that hotel and walk to Cafe Intermezzo without worrying about having to get in your car. So the two work, pressure on the city council, pressure on the planning commission, and pressure on the community council itself, is when developers come forward with that, that becomes the requirement to take advantage of the amenities that the PCID have already put in. And that's how you would carry, I mean, I live there in Ashburton, and I'm going to tell you, between 5:30 and 8:30 in the morning, I got joggers running up and down Ashburton Road all the time. Mm-hmm. So if you build it right, and you design it right, and the development standards are right, you're going to get the increased pedestrian traffic on the street, because it's going to be perceived as a safer, more convenient place to walk.
Yeah, hi, Dad.
Also, let me introduce myself. I'm David Sutherland, Director of the Transportation Coalition, partner of the CIE. My organization is about encouraging businesses and commuters to use alternatives to walk. We're trying to encourage people to walk and bike and take carpool as a transit. And we have a system in place that actually answers some of this question, where commuters can actually log on a daily or weekly basis and tell us how they got to work and how they got home. They can say, I biked home and I took transit to work the next day. In the last year, we've had over 400 individual unique commuters tell us that they walked to work. We had a walk challenge, which was literally last month. We hand pedometers out to people and encourage them to walk to work. More importantly, encourage them to walk at lunch, to do their errands, to go find a restaurant, even go out for exercise. We have more than 500 commuters who participated in a walk challenge in October who use these very sidewalks and intersections that Yvonne is talking about. And we've been doing that promotion twice a year for the last 3 years. And it's growing more and more. And again, if you build it, they'll eventually come. But compared to what it was in 1999 when we had signs in Ashford Dunwoody that said no pedestrians, I can tell you there wasn't much point in measuring how many were crossing Ashford Dunwoody then.
We're telling them not to walk. Thank you, though.
We know there's a couple hundred people from Ravinia every day, from Terrison, walking over to the mall, and it just grows more and more each year. And we can measure it, but back then it was a whole different world.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yvonne, the LCI study that was done 8 or 9 years ago identified the livable corridor concept for Perimeter Center Parkway. And you followed that pretty closely, and the first item, the first element in that was the streetscape. Now that's complete, as I understand. The second item is the perimeter park, the 5 acres under Marta that you referred to earlier.
Yeah,
how close to completion are we on that?
That was a vision.
Okay.
So the vision,
what can the city do to help you expedite that?
The vision needs to be that, you know, we all got to have a collaborative to say, where's the market now? And that we have, I mean, it's like anything else. You got to put the developers together, the mall together, the MARTA people together. We got to get around the same table. We got to talk about the highest and best use of that property and how it can be put into the plan. So it's not unfeasible. I'm just telling you there's a reality of how that comes together with an economic standard, a finance standard, acquisition zoning, like land use planning standard, and so everybody has a role at that table. And that might be something we put on the list that says that's the public space we're really interested in.
Well, I understand that it's not necessarily the best possible space in some people's opinion, but when the several thousand people move into High Street across the street, when that gets built out, they're going to need a place to walk their dog.
It might become a very strong market advantage. You know what I'm saying? The economics may be such that that thing gets to be, hey, this is a brand that creates market value. We want that to be across from that park area, that multi-use trail. There's a lot of ways to approach it, but it all starts with all of us getting together and saying, is that the bullet we want to go for? Or is there another advantage somewhere else in the market that has potential? We just need to map that out and look at it and then decide who all needs to be brought into that system.
Yvonne, I just want to contrast and bring up the fact of the difference between an employee going to lunch or to shop and back and forth, or possibly a lawyer going from one office building to another. And as it was brought up tonight, there's thousands of housing units already, and there'll be thousands more. Now, that's the working side of it.
Right.
And what they do at work and at lunch. But the dog walking, the having a picnic.
Exactly.
The throwing the frisbee, the being quiet and laying out for some sun as you would in a park in most major cities. And you know, on a blanket, et cetera. Where's that? I know it shouldn't be oriented. It's not going to be right around the edge of Perimeter Mall.
Right.
That's where I was alluding earlier to the future possibilities of down behind Fuddruckers or across from the Marriott, but Perimeter Center East, Central Park, and we think of it as one big city, the Sandy Springs-Dunwoody Divide. I mean, some of it probably should be on the Sandy Springs part of Perimeter Center and others.
And there may be something that's common between Sandy Springs and Dunwoody. Maybe there's a common area. We ought to be mapping with Sandy Springs.
It's not just the working, it's the living, is my point.
Yeah.
If the L stands for living, and that doesn't just mean having an apartment and going to sleep in it. There's the other elements of living.
That's the future of bringing the cities together to the table and that saying, how do we broaden the mission for green space? What's the mission now to broaden for green space? Anything else? Did you have a question? I know your hand.
Oh, I was just making the comment that I don't know whose lane it is, whether the city of Dunwoody or your group, but as someone that has jogged in the area, sometimes there's foliage that's not pruned, so someone should be tuned into what really it's like for the pedestrian or jogger.
So the landscape maintenance.
If you're running up and down after Dunwoody, there are parts where there's just, you got to run in the street because the sidewalk.
That's foliage. A good point. We have a maintenance program, but you know, it's nice to hear from people that actually use it and say maybe there's some branches that need to be brought to our attention. And that survey would be important. If you don't mind going to the website and putting that comment in there, we'd appreciate it. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Would the PCIB consider doing something along Mount Vernon to connect what I call the triangle of PCIB? You're up Ashford Dunwoody, you're up Perimeter Center Parkway. Part of that over there is Sandy Springs, but that connects into what people that have lived in Dunwoody, they would call downtown Dunwoody, where the old farmhouse is. Mount Vernon area, from Ashford Dunwoody to Perimeter Center Parkway, Abernathy area, looks bad. I think that would be a fabulous area to have nice sidewalks, both sides of the street, for beautiful lighting that you're using here on the Perimeter Center Parkway. It would tie all of that together.
Is that in our boundary? Is that description? We are constrained to do everything within our boundaries.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean that through this comprehensive planning process, that shouldn't be something that the city has in their comprehensive plan that has the same connectivity into the perimeter area. In other words, that would be a good first phase to have that shows gateway entrance into perimeter from the Dunwoody Village area. Yeah.
I might say that the city just passed an Adopt-a-Spot program, which is designed to allow organizations, whether it be nonprofits or businesses or subdivisions, to adopt a particular area of a street or an intersection, submit a plan, a landscape plan, to the city for that, and then they would maintain those areas, dress them up, clean them up, plan them up, and the area in front of Dunwoody Station or Trail Ridge along that section that you're talking about would be a wonderful candidate for either a business or maybe for one of the adjoining subdivisions. And this is how the city will deal with those issues that aren't within the PCI.
Yvonne, I'd like to speak to that as a member of the DHA board. And those that don't attend DHA meetings wouldn't have probably heard this. There was a time back, you're using 1999, so let's say 1999 thinking. There was Perimeter CID and the mall. And then there was the rest of what we're now calling residential, some call residential Dunwoody. Now, of course, we're all the city of Dunwoody. But at that point in time, it was a Hatfields McCoy, whether you knew it or not, or they and us.
Really?
Yes. Okay. And it was, we don't want offices. We don't want more shopping. My Lord, why don't they keep it in Buckhead? okay, so what, et cetera. So in that mindset, that's why, as you probably know, but I won't bring it into that, the intersection at Ashford, Dunwoody, and Mount Vernon now does not look like the perimeter CID intersections. That was very intentional because the Dunwoody Homeowners Association felt that it was important to brand, if you use that term we've heard a lot, brand the village. We wanted the village branded with black, not forest green. We did not want it to look like another perimeter CID intersection. Now going forward, now that we're all one big happy family, it seems to me that that's a subject that possibly the council could revisit. Maybe even the perimeter CID would like to adopt a roadway, okay? And add that, because with your financial muscle and your design people, you may well connect Max and Hermes, but you get my point. There is a point within, now that we are the city of Dunwoody, is what is thought about, and you use, because you work for them and that's your name, perimeter CID, but is the central perimeter, downtown central business district of our wonderful, beautiful city, or is it adjacent commercial area on the fringe of Dunwoody Village, which is the heart of Dunwoody? Those are some really interesting political and community decisions to be had and discussed. Because if one sees the what we call the perimeter CID area as the future hub downtown, the loop of Chicago, the whatever you want to call it, you might rethink, we as a city might rethink that subject about whether we want everything else to look different from them, or maybe we might think their look is really darn good and classy and we want their look to spread out more. So that's just an interesting thing.
Yeah, one other step, then that would require us to also include our partners of Sandy Springs. Because perimeter is more than just Dunwoody, it's DeKalb and Sandy Springs.
Absolutely.
So it's a collaborative where we all probably...
Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Yeah.
So, Des Moines and whatever.
Yeah, okay. So we'll have a big table, a big round table here.
For those of you that wouldn't know, that's a political thing that has happened over the last 10 and 20 and 30 years. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying to get these things on the table helps us in our planning and our thinking and our discussions.
Has there been some conversation that you want to respond to? Maybe you aren't so comfortable speaking in public. But I heard some interesting thoughts about the direction. We talked a lot, primarily CID, as we said, what their focus is on transportation. But as a city, you're deciding what you're going to put in as your policy. The Livable Centers Initiative, it was a study that has many owners in the sense that it's a plan. And and CID is one set of the owners, but the city of Dunwoody now has to make some decisions. And that's what this handout asks you to consider. Is this the kind of vision, the way the overall map shows the transition? And what kind of rules, what kind of policy do you want to put in to your comprehensive plan, kind of requirements for these parks, the connection. So we're looking forward to your comments on that. And if there's any other feedback that you'd like to bring up or ask us to consider or bring to the steering committee, council on the matter for the overall, how this character area fits in with your overall city plan for the future. Or do you have questions about this overall process? We ran through the comp plan part so we could hear about the CID part, but I also want to give it just a chance if anyone to bring closure to why the city hosted the meeting is getting input to talk about your comprehensive planning process. Or any comments?
I just